kids to deal with, but I hope he made it into PAX. I did bring it up with him, so that was good.
So you got one thing done.
Yeah.
I got my scheduling me every day to remember to be positive with him. Yeah. So I'm doing all right on
How's it going?
Is
it helping, you think?
Yeah, it's still hard to find positive things, but I'm trying.
Okay. Are you finding one a day or more?
Yeah, maybe one, at least one a day. It's not that they're not there. It's hard for me to think of them because they're just, it's like, this is what I expect as opposed to I'm grateful that it's really happening. So it's a process on it.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I mean, once you become conscious of it, as we talked about before, you know, and you're kind of looking for it, before you know it, it's going to be much, much easier. It'll, like, a light getting, you know, flipped on, hopefully. So continue to do it, and I think you'll be surprised at the progress. That's awesome. Good for you guys. Kat, I see you joined us, too. Hello.
Hi. So my thing for this week, my son, he doesn't know this, he's going to get an award next week from the after school program for basically, I guess, being a model student. So,
oh my gosh.
So I was really excited about that, and it's not from the teachers, it came from, they do some type of self-nomination, so it came from his peers.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well,
I thought, you know, that to me that made me feel a whole lot better, you know, about that socially for him. So that was good.
Sure. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Congratulations. Wow, what an incredible thing. So awesome. Will you take a picture and post it in the forum for us so we can all see him with his award?
I'll try. I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but we'll see.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Tara, what do you want to celebrate?
I want to celebrate, I guess, just the fact that I've been teaching my son the things I learned here. And after our last call, I talked to him about the whole feeling forward thing. And he's done really well at catching me on it. And it's just been kind of refreshing to give him the mindset that it is okay to fail. And it's really improved the atmosphere in our home this last couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm so glad. Isn't it cool when we hear our words come out of our kids' mouth and you're like, you're right.
Yeah.
I need to practice what I preach sometimes. It happens here a lot. So. Oh, Kathy, what do you want to celebrate?
I think that I have done better at asking Alex about certain things that his input versus dictating things to him, like about summer camp, we had to put an animal to sleep, and so I wanted to find out what he needed around that, and, you know, he wanted to express how he felt, and then he didn't want to talk about it, he didn't want to, and I didn't push, I didn't, you know, are you sure, you know, it's like, I finally was like, I respect that, okay, all right,
sure.
So, you know, I did a lot more checking in with him about how he feels, and that's kind of new sometimes. I often am, you know, very authoritative, and, you know, so I really am trying to be conscious that, you know, he has an opinion, and I want to be able to take that more. So.
Awesome. It's hard, right? I mean, we get in that habit of just kind of checking in on the to-do list, basically.
And micromanaging, you know, so much stuff.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And to some extent, you
I'm shifting
to,
out
right?
of that young age. Yeah, that young age where you're, you know, sometimes you're like, yes, you do have to take a bath versus, I guess if you don't brush your teeth today, that's your choice. Like, you know, I would like you to brush your teeth, but I'm not going to wrestle you to the floor or anything, so like, okay. So I'm in that early middle school, you know, he's pretty immature, sixth grader, but, you know, trying to learn to give him a little more, you know, okay. You say you don't have any homework.
Right.
I trust that. So.
Good for you. That's a tough one. I, you know, on the days when I pick my middle schoolers up and they – reek of BO.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have got to wear deodorant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did say there's going to come a day when I say you have to bathe more often. Like, you know, sometimes I'll say, today's a day. Today's a day. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. We had a guest expert recently. Sorry, just one quick aside. Wrote an article, a girl, I don't know if you guys saw it, it was probably about a month, maybe 2 months ago, and she said, please keep reminding me to brush my teeth. And this was a 16 or 17-year-old girl.
And I love it.
And it was just a great reminder to me that, you know, yeah, they still need to be reminded about these things, and it's not that they're doing this on purpose. They just forget, you know, you just get up and get going, and before you know it, you're at school, and you're like, crap, I forgot those five
things. Well, and I'm trying to teach Alex Wright to also help me be responsible. Like, what do you need? Do you need anything from me? Like, because, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of do that all in or all out, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
fine, then I won't remind you and you'll just miss the bus, you know, kind of thing, versus,
mm-hmm.
can I do anything to help you? I don't want to micromanage you, but, you know, and then it was, you know, well, can you give me one reminder at this time? I'm like, sure. Yeah. You know,
oh,
so
that's
like,
great.
Yeah.
I love
learning
that. From
learning to ask
what
him what he needs, because, you know, he's going to get to a point where if he needs help outside of here, he needs to ask for help, you know.
Right.
Versus thinking
right.
he's
and
doing it
wrong.
And how
great that he knows what he needs
yeah.
or can at least come up with something to share that he needs. That's awesome.
Cool.
All right. So we are, if you're just joining us on the recording, I don't think we have anyone else who's joined us on the actual live call. Today is Friday, May 12th, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS call. And today we're talking about non-judgment, which is always an interesting conversation. So I'm curious to see where we go with it today, because it's a powerful thing. I think it's something that most of us probably have either faced, feared, or struggled with at some point in our parenting lives. But before we dig into that, we're going to go back around and take aim. So who wants to take aim first? Remember, we're taking aim on the change we want to see, which is usually something pretty specific that's come up maybe recently, or something that's been specific but has been a challenge for a while. If you need some help taking aim, we can walk you through that. So, but we'll go around real quick and let everybody take aim. You can jump on in when you're ready.
Well, this is Kathy again. So I want to come up with a mutually beneficial and comfortable morning plan. We've kind of all gone haywire as school is ending, and so we've missed the bus a lot. There's been a lot more. I get really triggered. There's been a lot of anxiety and anger and stuff around that. So, again, we started that conversation this morning, and I want to continue it like a little not in the heat of the moment. And, you know, empower him and empower me, but kind of turn some of that over to him and be like, let's make a plan together. I'm cool with however mm-hmm. you want it to look. Like, but
mm-hmm.
our goal is let's get on the bus. You know, so.
Right.
So that's I want
okay.
us to have conversations versus me just coming up with a checklist.
Okay. I like that. So the goal, or actually the thing you want to take aim on, is probably the conversation, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Awesome. Who's next?
Oh, we could go. Our son has two school projects coming up that are due in like 2 weeks. They're kind of big projects, the trifold thing and make a cell model. So we got to figure out a way to allocate his time over the next couple weeks. He hates doing anything up until the last second, and then he just kind of rushes stuff. So, of course, we don't really like that. So,
and he hasn't had homework. They have a packet with spelling and language arts, and then
mm-hmm.
a page every day. And this is the most homework he's had all year. And it's for mm-hmm. open.
Well, anyway, it doesn't
so,
matter.
Yeah.
But we just need to focus on trying to get him to allocate his time a little bit at a time, as opposed to make it exciting by saving it to the last second.
Okay. Who's next?
This is Pat. I think I'm just going to keep concentrating on trying to give him my son positive reminders during the day, just to keep him focused on the positive.
Okay. Who's left?
This is Tara, and there's a lot I want to take him on, but I think my biggest thing is getting me and my son on the same page in regards to goals. Especially like he has a goal of being able to purchase Minecraft on my phone set because he earns game time, you know, after he gets done with his jobs for the day. That's kind of his motivation, and he wants to be able to earn Minecraft so that he can pay for it himself, and I want to be able to support him with it without it becoming a complete power struggle, because once he gets his mind set on something, whether it's going to be play a game or not, it becomes an obsession. And So I want to take aim on somehow supporting him with that and helping him through this obsession part, because I don't really know how. Hey.
Awesome. Who did I miss? Did I miss anyone? All right, cool. So non-judgment, and I think you guys are going to see a lot of overlap in how this can kind of all loop together in different ways, linking to what we took aim on. But, I mean, it's a tough one, right? Because it's really hard in those moments where you feel like everyone's looking at you, or everyone is, you know, sort of silently judging you, or that they have a story in their head that is in some way negative towards you, to get out of that, right? And it's hard when our kids are melting down and doing some things that we really wish they wouldn't do in public, or you know, in other places, to remember that it's not that they're doing these things to us. You know, they're doing these things because they don't know how else to handle either the big emotions or the situation, the failure, like we talked about a few weeks ago. And the only way they can express it is the way they're currently expressing it, until they've grown enough or we've figured out a way to activate their brains and it allows them to express these big emotions and big events differently and better. And non-judgment is really hard, because even the best of us, you know, even when we know in our hearts that our kids are good kids and that this is just like a situational event, it's so difficult to let go of, and particularly for moms, I don't know about dads, but I suspect for dads too on some level, it's really hard to let go of this, everyone thinks I'm a bad mom, why can't my kid just be like everybody else, I should be able to handle this better, all those negative thoughts that seem to come unbidden, you know, and the looks from different people where we put meaning behind it that may or may not even be there. You know, there's so many times where, you know, the person in the parking lot or the grocery store is always a good example, or, you know, wherever, at the Thanksgiving family dinner, where someone really may not even be thinking what we think they're thinking. But in our minds, we just assume that they're judging us. And then we react accordingly. And some of that spills over on our kids. And it's so hard to prevent that from happening, because, you know, standing in judgment, it doesn't serve our kids. It just makes them feel badly about themselves. And we already know that they hear so many negative things each day, and they get redirected so many times. And they know they're struggling. They know how hard it is to look around and see that, wow, everybody else can sit at the Thanksgiving dinner table for, you know, 2 hours or whatever and use their fork and their knife and their, you know, napkin in their lap, or, you know, whatever the rules are, or the unwritten rules are. You know, our kids recognize when they're in a situation where they're really not sure what to do. And it's scary and it's stressful. And if we continue to feed that for them, then that makes them think that they're just bad people, instead of they're, you know, in a space where they just don't know how to do it yet. And so if we're on page 52, sorry, in the workbook, if you guys have it and you want to follow along. But if you don't have it handy, it's not a big deal, because we usually just cover most of it in this part of the class. But, you know, when we approach our kids from a place of non-judgment and a place of empathy and trying to meet them where they are, you know, we better find out kind of exactly what is going on. And it keeps us more calm. I know we've talked about that before. It's so much easier to look at our kids and remember, one, that they're struggling, right? And they're scared and afraid. And that's why it's coming out the way it's coming out. And then also, to, you know, apply that 3 to 5 year developmental delay. If you're looking at your 15-year-old or your 12-year-old and they're behaving like an 8-year-old, that's always a good trigger for you, trigger in a good way, to remind you that, wow, okay, sometimes 18, you know, 8-year-olds do behave this way. And this is a child with complex and special needs. And we want to approach them from that standpoint of love and caring rather than a way that makes them feel shameful or bad about themselves or helps them to internalize some of those negative feelings and thoughts that we've talked about before, shame and guilt, and that, you know, overwhelming, I'm just a bad person. That also applies to us as parents, right? We talk about the fight or flight mechanism, you know, when everyone's getting triggered and how you get out of the situation and, you know, try to get your amygdala back from the hijacker. And once you're calm, then you tell yourself a story that may also be true. And it works for non-judgment also. You know, I always think about social thinking is one that we've touched on before in terms of helping people understand social situations. But, you know, when I feel like I'm being judged or I catch myself going to a place where I'm wondering what other people are thinking about me, I try to remember that I'm not spending a lot of time thinking about other people. And so it's unlikely that they're spending as much time thinking about me as I think they're thinking or spending. And then also to assign another story to them as well. You know, the person who gave you the dirty look in the grocery store may have been looking at something else entirely or may have been thinking that they forgot their wallet. I mean, I try to come up with something that's also plausible, right? And has nothing to do with me because we really don't know. And why assign judgment or the perception of judgment to other people when we just really don't know? So two pieces to this. You know, one piece is, again, kind of our own handling of what we perceive to be judgment. And then the other piece is how we approach our kids and make sure that they don't feel that we are judging them in a way that makes them feel like bad people. What's coming up for you guys?
The big thing that's coming up for me right now is just, like you said, just really how we handle it. Because there's such a difference between how we say what we're trying to say and how it makes our kids feel. And like right now, I just had an experience where my son spilled his milk, spilled his sister's milk, and then I saw him pouring his milk into her cup, and I automatically assumed that's what happened. But come to find out, he was pouring his milk into his sister's cup because he spilled hers. And
aww.
I know, super sweet.
So sweet.
It was sweet, but it's just funny how I automatically assumed the negative, you know. So you never know the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a piece of thought in here. I need to add that. That's a really great point. So pause, right? Take a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the phrase, what else might be true? I know that came up before in a previous lesson, but I've sort of let that go by. So there's definitely different ways of looking at the behavior, and it's hard to get away from the one that seems most obvious and most annoying. So,
Right.
That in the back of my mind at all times.
I think that's a good point, too, because we've become kind of hardwired to expect the worst, whether we want to or not, you know, and life is busy. You know, and this is the whole squeaky wheel, the loud thing. It gets the grease or gets your attention, and a lot of times it's the negative thing that gets our attention. And so it takes constant practice to continue to look for something from a positive perspective and getting back to that, again, that aspect of gratitude. And the more we look for it, the better able we'll be to see it. Yeah. And the better we'll feel about it. You know, it's so much better to source positivity and abundance and optimism from, you know, our surroundings than to always be looking for the negative. What else, guys? What are some things that can help you when you feel like you're being judged by others or can help you do a better job of approaching your kids from a place of non-judgment? everybody is a rock star. Rejecting perceived judgment. That doesn't make kids. What are the situations where you have the most trouble or where you find it the most difficult to switch to a place of non-judgment? Public places or private places?
So this is Kathy. I don't struggle so much. I don't think I struggle as much in public. I'm sure I do at times from worrying about people's judgments, but this is a huge topic for me, so it's kind of very emotional. I think I do so much more judgment in my own house, in my own home, privately. You know, I really think I do forget that Alex is 3 to 5 years behind, that we're still doing the same things over and over again, still trying to learn about stuff, that I'm not very patient with that, and that I do really worry that, you know, he feels my judgment more than my love a lot of times. And, you know, that, you know, even this morning we had a conversation really calmly, you know, like we had just gotten up. And I said, you know, sweetie, I feel like all you will think about me is that I'm like a giant clock. That I'm, it's always about time and it's always about, you know, doing something. And a lot of people in my house are challenged by time. I've kind of got the high executive function stuff. So, like, I came home from class last night, and it was 9:30, and Alex is still wide awake. I'm like, what are we all doing? Like, it's time for bed. So I feel like there's lots of that kind of stuff going on. Like, there is a lot of judgment, you know, forgetting things of, you know. And I really, that worries me. And so this is a great topic. I mean, I cried when I read it this morning. I was like, oh, this is a big topic. Well, I mean, it's why I'm here. It's one of the many reasons why I'm here. But that's, you know, I don't want to continue to damage my relationship with my child over behavior that he is not doing on purpose. You know, I think I still come at it from, he would just stop this, you know, like he'd stop doing this stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of forget that he still probably needs to be taught and, you know, how to better use some different tools, and me too. But I don't know that I give him a lot of space for that as much as I would like to learn more about that.
Learn more about which part, sorry.
How to not go directly to that, oh, good God, like, really, why are we doing this again? Why didn't we just talk about this yesterday? You know, you're 12 years old, you're gifted in so many ways, blah, all that kind of noise in my head that's running unconsciously probably, and that I'm sure I screw up my face, and that's what he sees, like, you know. Versus, hey, buddy, like, what's going on? How can I help you around this topic?
Yeah. It is. It's very hard. And it's hard because, like I said, on so many levels. And you're absolutely not alone. I'd say the majority of the people who come to us for that very reason or for some, you know, aspect of that. And once you're, you know, you're outside, match your insides. That's a difficult piece too, because even if you know in your mind, once you go from what the heck are we doing this again to okay, step back, you know, what else might be going on here, coming from a place of curiosity and empathy, but your face is already, like you said, already made the face.
Right.
It's hard to.
I evidently have quite the eyebrows.
I do too.
I was unaware.
Very effective.
Evidently have quite the eyebrows.
Yeah. My mom used to call me Spock because I could get my one eyebrow in Star Trek to go up. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard having our insides and our outsides match, first of all, and it's hard getting to a place where we're changing our insides and our outsides. Those are excellent points. What's coming up for the rest of you? Does that message resonate with you? Is it something that you've struggled with too?
Yeah, this is Catherine. One thing that just popped into my mind was Tyler doesn't like sitting for dinner. And when we have family over, he doesn't want to sit. And I feel really, I think from my dad, that he doesn't understand why he won't sit. And I feel judgment from him, like, well, just make him sit. Well, I can't. I mean, you know, part of it is his meds, you know, make him not hungry. But, you know, he just has to get up and, you know, do something else. And that's why we host things at our house, because he has other things that he can do, like his scooter and that kind of thing. But it's, I feel judgment on that.
So you feel that directly yourself.
I don't feel that,
but I'm not focused in on that. And he doesn't know the whole reality of our lives or Tyler's life. So
yeah.
I would encourage you to not focus on that too much. I mean, you could feel it, but I don't think you have a good reason to feel it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I totally get that one, too.
Radio silence.
I had you on mute. Sorry about that. I was making some funny jokes about judging. Okay, so what was the last thing you heard? Where David was talking to Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I think that's an interesting scenario as well, because a lot of times between partners and parenting, there can be some, you know, perceived judgments also, you know, in terms of you shouldn't let that bother you, or that doesn't bother me, why does it bother you, kind of thing, or here's how you can let this go, but that doesn't always resonate for the other partner. And the situation you described, Catherine, is, I think, a scenario that's probably occurred all over the place. So there was a whole year where we couldn't go out to dinner with my parents because they would get very frustrated if our, this is when the kids were younger, our kids with and our kids without ADHD did not want to sit at the table in the restaurant for 2 hours. And so they'd get up and we'd go outside and wander around for a little bit or wander around someplace so they could stretch their legs and just move. And it drove my parents absolutely crazy because they thought that was disrespectful and that was their judgment. But the flip side was, is if we'd forced him to sit at the table, it would have been very uncomfortable for everybody also. And so, you know, the just one scenario of how our perceived notions about family relationships, what appropriate public behavior is, and what our kids are actually capable of doing can so dramatically disconnect or be disconnected from each other and from reality in terms of capabilities. It makes it very, I mean, it's no wonder why we struggle with all these things, because so much goes into each one of those pieces. You know, our childhoods, our parents' thoughts, our thoughts about our parents' thoughts, our thoughts about us as parents, our thoughts about our kids. It can be a just a minefield of expectations or disappointments depending on your approach. I'm glad you guys brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
What else you guys think? Yeah. Kat, you're quiet. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I can.
I can relate to the parents. I had more the problem with my father-in-law, and he wanted to shake his finger, and we just had to ignore it. I just had to, because I knew he didn't understand. I just had to ignore it. But yeah, it's hard to have sometimes family things, because my son is the only youngest one around, and everybody else adult, and you have to remind them, you know, adult kids want to move around. They don't want to sit in a restaurant for 2 hours. So,
right.
So yeah. So I think the big thing my husband and I deal with is between the two of us, judging my son. Sometimes I'll see my husband be harsh, and then he'll turn around and say, "You're doing the same thing." So we have to do that. How old is he really? You know, should he really have, you know, did he do this on purpose, or is this his ADHD keeping him from, you know, remembering to turn a paper in? We went back through the same thing again. It happened this week of, "He didn't ask me for the paper." And I'm like, how many times have we this? He doesn't have to ask you, but, you know, it's just something, and I can see where he has that in his mind. He just reverts back to some old habits. So, you know, sometimes I just have to remember to keep my mind, you know, not to judge him, you know, make faces and, you know, help him with it.
Right. Yeah, no, those are excellent points. And everyone has a bad day too, right? I mean, there's definitely times when, you know, we may be doing everything right, and, you know, for whatever reason, if our self-care is off for a little bit, we're tired, we're hangry, we're whatever, you know, we may kind of revert back to the, why can't you just focus? You know, or why is this so hard for you? When we clearly know the answers. In a previous call this week, we were working with some parents who have kids who are seniors in high school getting ready to go to college. And one dad had come downstairs about 2 o'clock in the morning and found his 18-year-old son, you know, still sitting up watching TV. And he was like, why aren't you in bed? This kid has already graduated from high school. And he said, no one told me to go to bed. And I was just a human. And he was, the dad was terrified. And he's like, I can't send him to college. He needs someone to tell him to go to bed at night. He's 18-year-old. You know, and the reality is that, you know, one, the kid probably was just messing with him. And even if he wasn't, that's just a working memory piece. You know, what else could be going on there that you know, the kid just got sucked into whatever he was doing, didn't realize what time it was probably. But the dad's immediate reaction was like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
He's a failure. He can't go to college before he's even left for college. And so, you know, we're all guilty of that at some point. It just cracks me up. But, the working memory piece is another component that we tend to forget. It's like the brushing teeth, you know, the remembering to take the trash out or feed the dog or whatever, where they really think that they've already done it. I fed the dog, you know, but they're actually remembering, you know, maybe the previous day, especially those routine activities that you can kind of do, you know, on remote control or whatever, autopilot. And those are the things that I think are the ones that we're probably even more likely to react to initially with a judgment. I know you didn't. You know, or come on, really, like toothbrushing. How hard is it? Yeah. So I'm rambling a little bit. I apologize. But what do you think is the best way to help shift either yourself or someone else or your child from a position of judgment to non-judgment? Is it practice? Is it, you know, stepping back? Is it something else? Pausing? Kathy, what's your typical process?
Guilt later.
Guilt later, okay.
I'm a real triggery reactor, I think. I think I'm okay. Moving so fast in the world, you know, that I react and then I feel really guilty later and then I can kind of come up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I was just thinking about, which I was so grateful somebody brought up the dinner thing because I had forgotten about that. I do feel that sometimes. We don't do that a lot, but, you know, actually having maybe a conversation with Alex when we are going to have a dinner where we're going to go out someplace or, you know, be with family, and maybe talk about some actual tools, like, for him. Like, so, you know, dinner takes a while and, you know, let's be realistic and maybe not have him sit at the table or try to do that 2-hour sit, you know, and take some things with him. And, you know, how about you take care of yourself that way? But so that I appreciate that because I'd kind of forgotten about that. My expectations of him acting like an adult, you know, and wanting to sit around a table
yeah.
for 2 hours. I'm like, that must be just like torture. But in the day-to-day, I mean, to me, I think it's like continuing to do these calls so that maybe this sinks in at a different level so that I hear more of those voices like 3 to 5 years, not doing it on purpose, you know, maybe some more tools for him, how to support him, learning how to do
yeah.
those things that might come naturally to me as an adult.
Yeah.
Cause,
so in the moment, if you can think of a situation where you're like, you're in the moment, you're going a million miles an hour, like you said, and something happens,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is going to be a good way to remind yourself to just stop?
See, I don't know because that's, yeah, because it's like, I think if I stop and become in my body, in my brain, I'm usually good. It's the fact that I must not be fully present. I'm on a trajectory of getting myself out the door, getting him out the door, you know.
Yeah.
I'm moving too fast.
Right. No, I get it. And so that's the challenge, right? So in that moment when you're moving, how do we think about the times when our kids get frustrated with us too? You know, it's usually when they're sucked into something else, right? When they're on electronics or
focused on what
they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I always think about the times when I'm trying to get something done on my laptop or whatever, and they're like, hey. Those are the times when I'm most likely to snap and to not remember
right.
to pause and take a deep breath. Sometimes just the recognition of that. Okay, I'm on my path. I'm in my groove. And if anyone comes along and stops me, I'm more likely to kind of lose it and come from a place of judgment instead of a place of compassion. Sometimes just recognizing that and kind of keeping that somewhere towards the forefront of your mind is helpful.
Right. Totally.
What about everybody else? Any suggestions or thoughts, or want to share exactly kind of what it feels like when you start to come from a place of judgment?
Anybody got tips or tricks?
No, the other piece of this is forgiveness, right? And
absolutely.
The fact that we're not perfect and we're all practicing. and it's the whole journey thing and the marathon. And so when we screw up and we do come from a place of judgment, and either our outsides don't match our insides or vice versa, or, you know, whatever. And no matter what the scenario is, you can always apologize. You can always come back,
right,
and ask forgiveness from your child, and then forgive yourself too, you know, because I think we carry those around a lot. And those little spirals and self-talk stories add to our own judgments of ourselves, you know, and it makes it more difficult for us to be effective as parents if we continue to think about all the mistakes that we've made as parents. Yeah, so that's another piece of it. Cool. Any other comments before we start doing a quick checkout? All right, guys, we are non-judgment masters. I love it. So, wrapping up, we asked the four questions, and since we've had enough time today, it'd be great if everybody could do a thorough checkout if you can. So, what did I focus on most or pay the most attention to today? And that can be during this call or just kind of in general. What's my clarity or my takeaway from today? If you had kind of an aha, what is it? If it's, you know, just heard some good reminders, share that. What's a realistic action step for me to take? And realistic, right? Don't give me like 25 different things you want to do. Just one thing. And something that you're likely to do. And then how can I set myself up for success with this action? Or do I have what I need to set myself up for success with this action? You know, if your action step is we're going to take a trip to Hawaii, you know, is this a good time of year? Are you able to go? You know, what are you going to do when you get there? What's the, you know, all of the things that go along with a realistic action step and setting yourself up for success, they're hand in hand. So if we don't set ourselves up for success, then we fail typically, and we don't want to add to the judgment that we're already putting on ourselves and other people. So think about the questions again. I'll read them and just jump in when you're ready. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? Go whenever you're ready.
Oh, this is David. I'll go. So I just I'm reminded that, you know, the non-judgment thing is super important. And so I just want to redouble my efforts to plan ahead for things that I know are going to trigger me, and just try to remember ahead of time to take some breaths and to be thinking about, if this happens, I will pre-think about other reasons why it may be happening as opposed to the malicious one that obviously comes to
uh-huh.
mind first.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, okay. Just there's certain times of the day, things have been getting a little bit more mellow, I think, recently, especially since he's got so little homework. That used to be this huge.
Yay. Yeah, makes a big difference,
well,
doesn't it?
Or not, because next year is middle school, and I understand
yeah.
that they actually have homework. So we haven't been practicing.
I dread that.
So, I don't know. Just
can always get an accommodation
it.
For less homework, just so you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but that works through school. But after school, then it's like, oh, a job with less, you know, whatever. I guess we'll worry about that later.
Okay. And if you know what your triggers are, David, that's awesome. Because then, like you said, you can kind of pre-plan. And it sounds like you know certain times of day or certain situations. And so, I mean, that's huge. That part of trigger management and non-judgment, just knowing exactly the things that kind of set you off and being kind of on the lookout for them. And also knowing that your first thought or your first reaction might be like a throwaway thought, right? Okay, there's that thought. I'm glad I didn't say that. And then on to the next thing. That's cool.
I guess also the next thing is letting go of if I have an idea that he really needs to do a certain thing. It's like it's probably not life-threatening that he doesn't actually do it. So
I love that you said that. That's huge. This is usually a really powerful conversation. Stuff comes up that usually surprises people when we walk through this process. And in some situations, it makes us think about our values, and that whole tone of the home thing. What really is important? You know, what really does matter in the long run? That's great. I love you said that. Catherine, what about you?
I think for me, it's a let it go kind of thing, because I want things done a certain way. And he doesn't do that sometimes, but more often than not, he does pretty much the opposite or doesn't respond right away. When I ask him to do something or it's not the way I would like it to be. I just have to remember that, you know, he is who he is, and just take a step back and realize also that he is 3 to 5 years behind.
Mm-hmm. And in some houses, there are just things that, if you know the things that you like to have done a certain way. And it may be that he'll never be able to do it the way that you want it done. And are you willing to let those things go?
I'm trying.
It's tough, right? Or are you willing to accept the way he does it as good enough? There's no right or wrong answer. It's just something to think. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Who's next?
It's Kathy. So I focused on how important this topic is, that I don't think this should be a once-a-year touch thing for me. Because it's really
taken.
A little star by this one. So my clarity or takeaway is, you know, I think we were just talking about that, understanding those certain times of day when it might be really critical for me to consciously slow down, for instance, maybe in the morning. So maybe that means I get up 15 minutes earlier or something, you know, so in other words, that I can slow down and be a lot more present. Keeping that in mind that it's not on purpose, and I love that it's not malicious. And then I put a big star next to this because I love this. Is this life-threatening, and how important is the tone of the home? Like, you know, that's critical, and I'm not living that, and so I would like to do that a little bit more. So, then this happened even before my call. It happened in my class last night that, you know, it's about, for me, it's like continuing to strive and to not judge myself
for any stuff. And then, so compassion and forgiveness. So those are the three words I wrote on a post-it note this morning that's on the dashboard of my car. And I'm going to hang one over the coffee maker because those are just really big. I judge myself so much, you know. I'm probably the worst at it. You know, why can't I learn this? Why can't I do it? So, you know, I'm sure that's what I bring into, you know, with Alex. So, you know, that's those are important life lessons. And you know, I'm thinking
I'm
maybe if I saw that a little more frequently. Yeah.
No, it's really important because we know as adults how it feels to feel that way and how, you know, in some situations it can feel crushing, you know, and we're so good at beating ourselves up and giving ourselves those negative messages. And at the same time, we know how destructive it is. And so wouldn't it be great if our kids didn't have to grow up telling themselves the things that we tell ourselves? If there's a way for us to kind of break that cycle now, I think that's great.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. That's awesome. Pat or Tara?
This is Pat, so I'll go. I just need to, what I need to focus on or my aha was just making sure that I'm thinking before I judge my son. You know, what's the big picture, you know, and not, you know, jumping, you know, immediately to why did you forget this? Or, and I know that I have to pay attention to some triggers for me because I will react faster when I am very tired or when there's a time limit. So I blew up at him this week because we were late getting out the door and traffic has been worse. And so we kind of blew up at each other. So I just need to remember, you know, in those cases, I need to step back or, you know, we just talk about it later and not even worry with it. So I've got to remember those things.
I love that. Say that again. So it's when you're under time pressure, or what was the other thing? When your self-care is
When I'm tired already
or
I'm under a time constraint, like getting out of the house. In other words, got to leave at 7:30 and it is past 7:30. You know, that's when I, you know, lose my patience.
Yeah. Good. See, like I said, it is so important that we know our triggers, you know, and remarkably, they're relatively similar for all of us. So when we have that sort of, you know, kind of conscious awareness of whatever is running in the background of our minds, it makes it that much easier to be able to kind of lasso it and drag it to the ground so we can focus on the other stuff. That's great. Tara, are you able to check out? She's usually got kids all over. All right, guys. Any last-minute thoughts, comments, questions, suggestions? All righty. Well, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here today. And we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.